broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP, Cullman. Live 95 is Cullman's Independent Radio. And now, it's time for Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Cullman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Cullman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And no lawyer on this show actually helped write that disclaimer. And now, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to another edition of Understanding the Law with Cullman attorney, Marvelous Melvin Hastings. So we're just hanging out, and I think we're actually going to talk about law tonight, maybe throw in some Alabama politics and talk about that craziness that I love to rant on all the time. How you doing, Melvin?
Just fine.
Good.
Yeah, we have to talk about politics. This is going to be Roy Moore Day today, tonight.
Well, you know, we may as well call it Roy Moore Day here in Alabama because Big Luther, I don't know what he's going to do, even though he had the support of Donald Trump that came to Huntsville last Friday night.
He might feel kind of small. I don't know.
Well, you know, you never know. He may feel like a midget. But I did hear that if Luther Strange was not in the running, that President Trump said that he would support Roy Moore from that point forward. So
he said he would campaign like hell for Roy Moore.
Well, there you go.
That's what he said. So I think that's a big support.
He also said you need to fire some of them SOBs in the NFL, too. So
that's why you got to love them.
Yeah, Melvin.
Donald, I love them.
Melvin, seriously, I don't think I've ever heard a president cuss before.
If you bypass all of the facts the man has been tweeting and just look at the underlying motives, the man knows how to stir up headlines.
He does. He does.
That's how he got elected. I mean, he got on every – he didn't have to spend a whole lot of money because he's on every news channel because of the stuff he said.
Exactly.
So he was on there 24 hours a day, and that's great.
So is this the president we've ever had that tweeted constantly, I believe? I'm sure the only one.
I don't know if many other presidents had Twitter.
Oh, that's a good point.
Obama's like, I got Twitter, but y'all took my BlackBerry from me.
Now, what is it that Kim Jong-un or Yoon or what did he say about him?
Called him a deranged lunatic, basically. And of course, he said, you know, what you said, that you was going to wipe us off the face of the earth. That's words for war right there, buddy.
Yeah.
So we'll see what Kim Jong-yo does.
Should I find Elton John's Rocket Man? too soon, maybe?
Yes.
I don't know.
Called him Little Rocket Man, by the way. I mean, the guy is a true lunatic. But, you know, it amazes me. If the guy's truly an idiot, like I think he is, you know, is he willing to sacrifice his life and everybody else over there?
Yes.
Just to say that he done war on America.
He wants to say that he stood up to America. He wants to be the big guy stand up to America. Little guy about 4 foot tall.
But, I mean, I don't think his dad was like half as bad as he was. Granted, I'm sure he was bad, you know, and I've read a lot of things about North Korea, even recently. Have read where one lady actually defected from North Korea. She was talking about her being in prison for over 20 years and how the guards constantly raped the women. A lot of them got pregnant. The ones that got pregnant, those guards who got them pregnant, they were moved somewhere else. And unfortunately, horrific for me to even talk about it, would take the babies and feed them to dogs. Okay, that's North Korea for you, and that's what these people live under.
And she was probably in prison for speaking out against the president.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, it's all political, you know, for all the ladies to go in jail or to go in prison, and said that they would not feed them, and they were literally skeletons walking around. That's how skinny they were. So there you go, North Korea. And, of course, we've got the one, I can't think of the name, the idiot basketball player that goes over there all the time with the Chicago Bulls. Anyway, I mean, like him and Yo were, like, really tight, and he goes over there and visits often. And I'm like, just stay over there, man. Yep. If you like it that much, stay over there. So, good Lord, I can sit here and talk about this all day.
But, Roy Moore is going to be a senator. Hey, I wonder, so the election is in December between him and Doug Jones.
Doug Jones.
So Roy Moore's going to win that also. So I wonder when he goes into office, because this is a special election, you know. I wonder if he goes in January or if, like, the next day Luther becomes unemployed.
That's a good question.
You know, that's what's great. Luther said that he said to all the people that was voting for Roy Moore, looked like the unemployment line at the White House or something. That's kind of the people that's going to be voting for Roy Moore. And there was a cartoon about him being in the unemployment line after tonight.
Big Luther.
Big Luther.
You know, I don't know. I guess he's just a crook like everybody else is. I mean, if we're just going to call it like it is, I'm sure he is. I don't know everything that the man's done, nor will I ever know everything that he's done. You know, he gets paid big money, and he gets paid by these big corporations and everybody else, and fills his pocket. And
well, here you go. Let me tell you about Big Luther. He was a lobbyist before he became attorney general. I'll tell you everything. So he's a lobbyist. He's a professional lobbyist, made no telling how much money off of being a professional lobbyist. He's going to be he wants to be a senator up there. So when his lobbyist buddies comes to talk with him, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to say, no, I can't talk to y'all about that. Get out of my office.
Exactly.
I got to take care of my people of Alabama.
Yeah.
But that will only last a few more months. Big Luther's gone.
Because if Big Luther kept on, who knows, Big Luther may be in prison like everybody else. I mean, everybody in Alabama is going to go to prison for something.
The Auburn guy's in trouble. That's big time. That's the assistant coach at Auburn that's got all the bribery charges and money laundering and wire fraud. He's got major federal charges, and that's going to be – when that gets opened up, that's going to be ugly. CAA's going to be looking at that.
I think I'd read some of the big apparel companies were donating lots of money.
Funding a lot of money through him.
So probably Nike and everybody else, whoever – well, the brand,
no, it's Under Armour does Auburn.
Okay.
Nike's with Alabama and Under Armour's with Auburn.
Okay.
An anonymous caller just said to tell y'all it was Dennis Rodman they were trying
yes,
to
yes, that is it. Right. That's it. Dennis Rodman, the freak. I couldn't think of his name. But
I think it was Brenda.
Brenda, I thought you was going to come and be a co-host.
Yeah, she says, where am I?
Well, you're supposed to be in studio, and you didn't show up, so there you go. Brenda loves to keep us fired up, that's for sure. So what's going on in the court system in big Coleman County, Coleman City? You been to court lately?
Went to court today.
Well, there
went
you go.
For this morning was... What did I go to court for this morning? It's kind of funny.
Melvin Hastings. What's wrong with you?
I did go to court this morning for something.
So let me ask you this.
But I go to court this afternoon for youthful offender. We'll talk about that in a minute, but you want to ask me what now?
All right, say that you're going for a youthful offender. How many cases do you, well, in the court for the day? Usually how many cases are in there?
You're talking about just any court or youthful offender?
Youthful offender.
Youthful offender's not that lot because it's just a special docket. We probably have that docket three or four times a year. And, I mean, there's only four or five cases.
Oh, is that it?
So it's not that many. Now, the other courts, it just depends. For instance, we had felony court yesterday. Oh, I know what I went for this morning. Probation revocations. We'll talk about that too. So we had felony court in district court yesterday, and that was in front of Judge Cheney. And I wouldn't be afraid to say there's probably 200 cases on the docket.
No way.
Yes.
So do people not have anything to do besides go out and break a law or something?
They break the law,
Holy smack.
But, you know, not all of them are new cases. There's a few of them new cases. A lot of them just keep
recurring.
The case keeps coming back. Right. I mean, they just keep on resetting the cases for really no reason. It gives us an opportunity to try to settle the case. So the case I was on yesterday, I can't remember off the top of my head who it was, but it was probably the third or fourth time I've been to court. So you go there and try to set up, see if there's something you can work out. Some of the cases we did, I had about five or six cases. Some of them we worked out. Some of them we just said, we'll weigh this. We don't want, because these cases are in the district court. These people are charged with felonies. So you can either plead guilty to a misdemeanor, or you can agree to plead guilty to a felony, but it'll be taken up in another court. So these courts, unless they gonna plead guilty to a misdemeanor, you just kind of keep coming back. Judge Cheney checks to make sure if the people's doing the drug testing, if they're supposed to be, make sure they're paying their money or doing whatever they're supposed to be doing. And sometimes you use the case to, for instance, I think one of the cases was probably a drug case. This person's case is probably a year old or so. It's taken the state a long time to get the drug results back, the test results back, or whatever the person's charged with having. So they've been on court referral. So I went and told the prosecutor, said, look, he's been on, he or she, whoever it was, been on court referral 5 or 6 months. They haven't had any, no failed drug screens. They have no new cases, blah, blah, whatever. So they said, all right, we'll just let them plead to a misdemeanor. So they plead to a misdemeanor, they pay their fine, and the court's over with.
So misdemeanor is always mean that you're going to get probation. Is that true?
Yeah. If you do, yeah. Generally, it is a very rare thing. But you know, with the new sentencing guidelines, even if you plead guilty to a felony, a lot of them gets probation. But let me tell you, everybody gets antsy. But when we're talking about felony, we're talking about drug possession. So okay. All right. Now this is real important. I had I've been mentioning, and I finally read some more about this case. I've been mentioning about what that federal judge did last year, or earlier this year, when he made a ruling against the state of Alabama. He has ruled, and apparently, I guess the state didn't appeal it, so I guess it is a final. It is a final ruling. Maybe they're waiting until it's a final ruling before they appealed it. But he has entered a judgment against the state of Alabama for the mental care and how they're treating prisoners and everything else. And today, it was a story printed where some of the senators down for the state of Alabama, that they have to come up with a plan of how they're going to comply this judge's rulings. They said for the mental health part, it could cost the state at least $30 million.
Well, that's
a year.
Insane.
No, listen to this. That's for the mental health part. The rest of it could cost the state $100 million a year to be in compliance with his order. $100 million per year extra on top of the budget. $30 million per year extra on top of the budget for the mental health part. $100 million for the other criminal part of it.
So all of you out there wondering why you have not received
prison systems. Yeah, yes.
You have not received your Alabama state tax, and I think there was probably 20,000-25,000 of you. Guess what? You're probably not going to get it until Christmas.
It's going to be tough
because we don't know how to run the state of Alabama.
So I go back to what I always say again. At some point, people, and I think it's for the public, it's for the government, it's for everybody. Is it worth, you know, Stacey George talks about it, is it worth spending $20,000-$25,000 to keep a pothead in prison? Is it worth $20,000-$25,000 to keep somebody in jail that's on drugs, that's never going to quit using drugs?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Is it worth sentencing them to 10, 15, 20 years?
I think it's crazy myself.
It is.
But if I go commit murder, I'm probably out in 7 years.
Yep.
So, I mean, come on.
So I think, I mean, there are going to be some more changes. And I know the District Attorney Association gets an uproar about the stuff because they want to sentence everybody. They want them to be sentenced no matter what they are. But there are more serious criminal defendants that needs to be in prison than this drug stuff. So I mean, it's going to be bad. Yeah, the next cycle for the legislature is going to be unreal because you can't. Because what I understand, the $100 million talks about the correctional officers and stuff hiring and doing things for correctional officers and everything else. So you can't sit there and say we're going to build all new prisons and it all goes away. It don't,
right?
Because a lot of that money is going to be to provide the mental health care. That means the workers, the officers, and everybody else. And thank God, everybody didn't fall for Bentley's idiotic plan of building all these super mega prisons for $800 million. Because we'd be paying that back right now, plus all this extra money being compliant. So you have to rethink it. Everybody wants everybody to go to jail, and you have to rethink it now. Who do we send to prison? Who do we not stay out of
jail? Right. I mean, there has to be a fine line. I know there has to be some rehabilitation or something here in the county, in the city, to keep some of these people out of prison and maybe to try to help them out. And like you said, some of them's not. I mean, some of them, they're always going to smoke pot, you know? And if that's the case, let them stay home and do it. Grab a bag of Lay's, potato chips, get the munchies, chill out, and let's not send them to prison and spend my money. It's just crazy. But it's Alabama politics.
Yeah.
So is there any kind of crime that is not going to fall up under that youthful offender status for somebody that's underage?
So what happens in youthful offender? If you're charged with a felony and you are under the age of 21, so it means 20 years or younger, and usually it's 18, 19, and 20-year-olds is normally what it is. So if you're that age range and you're at the time of the offense, you're that age and you're charged with a felony, you can, once you're indicted or the case can get moved upstairs to circuit court, you can apply and say, Judge, I would like to be considered for youthful offender status. So what does that mean? If she grants it or he grants it, if the judge grants the youthful offender status, that means that it's treated like a juvenile case. It's hidden. It's not on public records. You don't have to disclose it anymore. So, but to do that, you have to give up your right to a jury trial. It's just a judge trial. And that's really probably the biggest setback to it. You know, you give up your right to a jury trial, but most of these people, if you're going to apply for youthful offender, if the judge grants it, then you're going to plead guilty. Maximum sentence, 3 years. The maximum amount of fines, $3,000. That's all they do. Now, if you mess up, you're on probation, you're treated like an adult. You go to big boy prison. You don't go to juvenile detention. So it, you know, you're still an adult in that way. The only thing it does is just hides the conviction. It gets removed completely from the record. So is there a crime that you can't? I think that everybody can be. I think if you're under the age of 21 when you committed the offense, you can apply for youthful offender. Now, I don't know that the law says if you have this, you can't do it. I do know if you're a juvenile less than the age of 18, if you're a juvenile and if it's a Class A felony, something like, you know, the serious kidnapping, rape, murder, some of the serious felonies, I think you automatically go up to adult court. And then in that point, you'd try for a youthful offender. But, you know, most of the time, if it's a real serious offense, you're not going to get youthful offender status.
Right.
That's really for the people that's, as a kid, as a youth, that's why they call it youthful offender. Because you're youth, you just did something stupid and got caught. So that's where we go. But, boy, if you mess up, you're gonna go. You know, you know, because judge looks at you and say, "Look, I gave you an opportunity. I helped you get cleaned your record up. You had a 3-year sentence. You're supposed to do this stuff. You hadn't done it. I'm gonna send you to prison."
Yeah, know that just ticks the judge off.
Yeah, to see somebody helping them out. Yes. I mean, really helping them out.
Because I would tell them face to face, "I'll never help you again. Mm-hmm. You ruined it."
Yeah, and sometimes they will. You know, if it's one of them kind of an iffy case, is the judge will make it a point and say, "Look, you know, this is your break. You understand that? I'm helping you out your life right now. If you mess up and I have reason to believe that you messed up on a delinquency, a new charge, you will go to prison."
You're listening to Coleman attorney Marvelous Melvin Haston talking about the law with Big D. We'll be back in just a moment.
Coleman, it's almost October. That means it's time for Coleman's Oktoberfest. Come check it out Wednesday, October the 4th through Sunday, October the 8th, and come celebrate our German heritage. The 5 days of activities for the whole family are taking place right in the middle of Coleman at the Coleman Fest Hall Marketplatz. Oktoberfest 2017 features a car show, arts and crafts, a kids area, 5K and 10K runs, German food, music, dancing, of course the famous beer garden, and even on select days, you got it, Live 95 is going to be broadcasting live. Come by and see us. This year's entertainment schedule is even better, including Terry Cavanaugh and the Alpine Express, who's providing your genuine German entertainment on most weeknights. Then on Friday and Saturday, check out this lineup. The Beatles cover band performs Friday evening at 6:15, known as the Beatlets, followed by the area's own Overtones at 8:15, and wrapping up the night, country music star Riley Green takes the stage at 10:15. Saturday features country band Countrywide at 6:15, followed by a local group, Round 2, at 8:15, and Flyby Radio will wrap things up on Saturday night, taking the stage at 10 o'clock. Sunday will feature the Cotton Pickin' Kids at 1:30, followed by Roy Crawford and his Coleman County Bluegrass Group, and Three on a String will wrap up Oktoberfest 2017, starting at 3:30 on Sunday. To get the full schedule and more information on the events taking place downtown, the Coleman Oktoberfest page there, or visit ColemanOktoberfest.com. Coleman Oktoberfest 2017, a Coleman tradition.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Just a reminder that the views and opinions of Marvelous Melvin Hastings and Big D is not the same as Jay's Fuller. So, Jay always wants me to say that. Like, you guys are idiots sometimes on air, so our opinions is not the same as Jay Fuller's is, even though we're trying to lead
Jay. And usually I jump right in there and talk with you. So.
we're trying to lead Jay in the right direction, by the way. And we always give him free legal advice, even if it's mine. So we have a caller on the line, Darlene from Coleman. Welcome to Understanding the Law. What is your question?
Hi, Big Dave. I have a question. If a girl is, or a person, was on parole and for some reason they got a 30-day donk, which means they go back to prison for 30 days. And they were being held in jail, and they were held there 20 days until they were took to prison. Were they were just sitting there on dead time, or would that 20 days go with them?
That is a flaw in the new law. That is the problem that they have. The and it's an easy fix. I don't know why they fix it, but the answer to your question, it is dead time. Dead time. You don't get any credit for it.
Okay.
Now I don't. Okay, so let's say a person commits a crime. They don't bond out of jail. They sit in jail from the time they committed that crime, and then they plead guilty or get sentenced to prison or whatever else. All of that time they sit in jail, they get credit for. Okay.
Right.
So, but in a probationer or a parolee, if they, you know, they get arrested on a probation warrant, they sit in jail. And listen, I've known them to sit in jail for 45, 60, 90. I've known them to sit in jail for 3 months waiting on a hearing. So they sit in jail for 3 months, wait on a hearing. The parole officer or the parole board violates them, or the probation or the judge violates the probationer and sentences them to go serve a 30-day dunk. That's a sanction for whatever they did wrong. Then they have to go back and sit in jail until the state comes and gets them. Once they reach Kilby, or if it's a female, once they reach Tutwiler, then their time starts. They start serving their dunk time then.
For that 30 days. And after that 30 days, are they right back out?
Yes, on the 30 days, when it hits the 30th day, they release them. They're out. So in the sentence, in your big sentence, like let's say you got a 10-year sentence, so that whole 45 days you waited to go to your hearing,
right.
The 10 days you sit there and waited for the state prison to come pick you up, and then the 30 days, all of that counts towards your sentence time. You know, it's an EOS day, it counts towards your end of sentence date, you know, but the time you sit in jail waiting on your dunk, your sanction does mm-hmm. not count. They got to fix that. Because, right. Again, as you probably know, Darlene, these people are sitting in a county jail. We're having to feed them, pay for them, and do all this stuff. And most of the time when they get a dunk, it's a technical thing. They're not showing up when they're supposed to. They've missed this. They've missed that. They've not paid. It's usually not because of they committed a new crime. It's because there's some kind of a technical. They didn't report like they're supposed to or something. There's some kind of a technical thing. So the law says, all right, judge, the only thing you can do is dunk them for this period of time.
Right.
But the law doesn't give them credit for that.
Wow. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
Have a good night.
All right. Hey, and that's all a discussion. Bye-bye. That's a discussion we have. You know, I told you today, this morning I had probation revocation here. And so a probation revocation where these were all people convicted of felonies. And their probation officer has filed a delinquency report saying, excuse me, that these they've either committed new crimes, they've not reported, they've just left, they've missed drug screens, whatever. Just anything they report, the delinquency that they've done. I mean, you can even, I know one of them, they was with another felon. And part of being on probation, you're not supposed to associate with other felons. So okay. One of them got a dunk today because there was in a vehicle or in a house with another felon. They got caught. Yeah. So that person sit in jail for a little bit, waited for the hearing, and now they got a 30-day dunk, I think is what I heard, if I can remember. So now they got to wait till prison come and get some. They got to sit in prison for 30 days. You know, and at some point, I bet you that law changes now. I guarantee that law changes now with all this money and all these correction officers and everything else. The Department of Corrections, I know what they're jumping up and down saying, look, these people's on probation, they're getting in trouble, and we're supposed to bring them in here and babysit them for 30 days. Y'all can have them. That's y'all's problem. So I'm sure that law will get changed next time. So they'll sit in jail for 30 days, and then they'll be released.
I have a question.
I just don't understand that.
Why would they not leave them in the city or the county instead of paying transportation costs to send them back to the prison system where they could serve the 30 days locally and then be turned right back out into the system? Why is that cost in between between the county and the state?
And sometimes... And I don't know how much of the discretion the judge gets in this, but sometimes the judge will say, you serve your sentence in Coleman County. So he or she will enter an order that they serve their time, the 30 days in Coleman County. So every once in a while that happens. Most of the time what happens, just so everybody sees the big picture, you got someone that's got this on probation. It's not a violent criminal. You know, they're not here murdering people, right, assaulting people and raping people, stuff like right, that. It's a pothead. It's somebody that's on drugs. You know, somebody that's forgeries or something like that. And these people are sitting back in jail. They get put on work release. They're actually going to a job, actually working. The money's getting paid to the jail to help keep them. You know, so some of these people are trustees. They work actually inside the jail. I didn't realize how big of a deal until I got involved in another case. Then I got talking to him about it. Feeding, 300 inmates? How many's there?
That's a lot of
food. That's a big daggum job. And right, I didn't realize how big of a job that was. You know, you're not talking about just feeding them. You're talking about cleaning up the stuff and everything else. So if they have an inmate that has experience, they can work in the kitchen, buddy, they will not. They want them to stay there. I know a boy that's got like a 10-year sentence. And Coleman County says, do not send him to prison. Let us keep him. We'll babysit him for the next 3 or 4 years in Coleman right, County, because he is a good cook. He works in the kitchen, and we need him here. So that's where he's at. He's
you know what? I don't have a problem with that.
I don't have a problem with that. He's still in jail. He's not getting out. I mean, he's still getting punished, but he's not going to Kilby or going into these other prisons. Right. He's staying in Coleman County. So sometimes I think that's probably what happens is the jail – There's a person that works with the sheriff's department. We call him a liaison. He's kind of the court. He or she's the court liaison. They coordinate between the jail and the courts and stuff. Like a lot of times, they'll speak up to the judge and say, "Look, this person's a trustee. They're on work release. They're in here. Can we? You know, they've already got the okay from the sheriff. Can we just keep them here instead of sending them to South?
Right.
And that's what they do.
It's a good thing.
Huh?
Can an attorney request that, or does it have?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do it. And the thing I heard today. Well, actually, I asked the question, and my response from the judge was, "We'll just let the sheriff make that decision. If the sheriff wants them, that's fine. If not, then go to prison." That was my answer. Because this person was on work release,
yep.
and that was a question: can they got violated, and can they serve their time up here rather than go to prison? But you know what? The people, the career criminals, which we have a lot of them around here, a lot of them just want to go to prison. I can't tell you how many. Yeah, I'll go over and see somebody in jail, and they're like, "Look, do I have to wait for my hearing? Can I just go plead guilty to this thing, going to prison? Say, I want to get out of here. I want to go to prison." Ain't that crazy? And the whole reason, listen, let me tell you why. You know what the reason is?
No, I don't.
They want to be able to smoke. They can smoke, yes, I swear.
They can't smoke in the county jail? Or they won't let them go outside or something. I'm surely
leaving. No, it's real restricted. I'll just leave it at that. So yes, some of them do, some of them don't, and everything else. But these guys know that they can go to prison. By God, and they can get outside in that yard and smoke day long. And I ain't kidding. That's what they tell me. They'll tell me they'll say, "Why do I have to? I did it. I'm guilty of it. Send me to prison. Get me the heck out of here. I don't want to go to prison."
And if I was in the county jail, I'd be breaking the law every day. I'd be smoking my cigarettes. I ain't lying.
With your trustee, or you, or on work release. There were the two stipulations of being allowed to smoke, trustee, and work.
And they do it. I don't know what kind of rules exactly they have. You know, there's certain. Listen to this. I mean, you learn a lot of stuff when you get in the court system. You know, there are federal regulations, and you can get your jail shut down if you don't feed them inmates at a certain time.
Oh, really?
Yes. So this is what happens. We're over in court, and they'll have 20 or 30 people sitting there waiting for revocations or whatever else. And remember I told you that person at court liaison, they'll say, "Judge, I got to feed these inmates like right now." And they'll actually – sometimes they bring food over there because, you know, the detention center's away from the jail's away from the courthouse now. They'll actually bring food over there to them. Because they got to feed, you know, and judge has to stop court because they have to do it. And I was like, "Why? Why is this such a big deal?" I didn't realize it's a big deal. And anyway, the court liaison says, "You don't realize it's federal law, and if we don't do it, we get shut down. They will shut us down tomorrow."
That?
Yes.
So what? Well, I mean, what's their regular lunch? I mean, somebody go to Hardee's and get them something or something?
I don't know
what?
If they get or feed them so many within so many hours, or if there's a certain time. I think it's within so many hours. You know, so if they feed them breakfast at 8, maybe by 12, maybe 4 hours later they got to serve lunch. So right. I don't know what the deal is, but it is strict deal, and they will. She said they will shut us down.
Wow.
Shut the jail. Do you imagine?
No, I can't.
We shut the jail down today. I don't know what they do with all the inmates then.
Ooh, yep. Yeah, that would be something. I guess they transport them somewhere else.
Well, when you were talking about the jail being at the courthouse and the housing facility of the amount of people that the courthouse held when it was the jail compared now to our new facility.
Yeah.
Our new facility is set up like a prison, and the head count, I believe, if I'm correct, is like 900, isn't it, Matt?
I don't know.
Surely not.
I don't know.
Not in that building.
It holds a lot of them. I don't know how many it holds.
900, yeah.
I don't know if it holds
that
many, but it holds a lot of them.
I'd have to Google.
But now they... when you get Gentry up here one day to share, because he knows a lot.
Yeah, I already talked to him. He said he'd come in.
We need to get him to talk to us, because they... They have a contract with the federal government, so they house federal inmates. And if you ask him, and Matt would be honest with you, he'd say, we love federal inmates, because let's suppose that Alabama pays them $1 a day for feeding them. Federal mm-hmm. probably pays them $3 a day.
Oh, wow.
So they pay a lot more money.
Mm.
Yeah. So I go up there, and when I see whoever's in jail, there's always people from Birmingham and Montgomery, all these lawyers come and think, what the heck are these people from? Then I figured it out. Well, these are the public defenders for the federal inmates. There's a bunch of them up there.
So, I guess one, I mean, if this guy's a federal inmate, did he come from another city? Did he come from another town? Did he come from another state or what?
He can come from anywhere. He can come from another state. Most of them, I think they probably house them. So, if you get in trouble... in Birmingham, you know, them areas, whatever else, they'll probably have a thing. They'll work them up here in Coleman. I don't know who all's got federal stuff. I think Morgan County probably does.
Okay, so listen, it's not every county.
It's not every county. There's certain jails that has to do it. And I'm sure you have to have from the regulations and so much stuff there. I mean, it's costing Coleman to do it, but they're getting a lot more money for doing it too.
That's good. That's more weed eaters we can buy and give them, put them on the road, and make them work.
Yep, you know, and
that's my theory.
You know, and federal inmates don't mean that. Some people think, oh my gosh, it's a federal inmate. This guy's a mean guy. Right. He's a terrorist. He's whatever else. If you commit a crime on a at the arsenal, you know, if you commit a crime at a TVA or whatever else,
right.
You're a federal inmate.
Right.
For instance. I mean, I know about these cases. You're out at the TVA. What's some of the parks? I don't know if Wheeler Park, if it's federal or not. I don't know. But let's say you're at TVA Park or whatever else, and you say, boy, I got to pee real bad. I'm going to walk over here and pee. And you get charged.
And you get arrested.
Yes, you get arrested. You're a federal inmate. And listen, there's people who gets like 6 months for that kind of stuff.
Man, you peed in the wrong place.
Yes, yes.
Holy smoke.
Yes. You know, If you have marijuana, you know, you get pulled over, you're driving through some TVA area or whatever else, you got marijuana, whatever else, the feds get you, the U.S. Marshals get you, then you're a federal inmate.
You know, the first thing I'd say, it ain't mine.
It ain't mine, exactly. instead of being in front of circuit court judges, these people's in front of federal district court judges and stuff, so.
Tough laws.
Yeah.
Now, who is our federal judge here in Coleman?
Well, there's no federal judge in Coleman. There's federal judges. Sometimes your case goes to Huntsville. Sometimes your case goes to Florence. Sometimes your case goes to Birmingham. I don't know exactly how it gets assigned. It goes through the system, and then I think they just randomly assign it. So you may be in Huntsville. You may get a case that goes to Huntsville, and the next case goes to Birmingham.
Well, we are glad that you're actually understanding the law tonight. We're actually speaking about the law, which we rarely do.
Whatever.
Oh, me. You are listening to Understanding the Law with Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings and your one and only Big D. We'll be back in just a moment.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today. Or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Hey, Coleman, it's almost October. That means it's time for Coleman's Oktoberfest. Come check it out Wednesday, October the 4th through Sunday, October the 8th, and come celebrate our German heritage. The 5 days of activities for the whole family are taking place right in the middle of Coleman at the Coleman Fest Hall Marketplace. Oktoberfest 2017 features a car show, arts and crafts, a kids area, 5K and 10K runs, German food, music, dancing, of course the famous beer garden, and even on select days, you got it. Live 95 is going to be broadcasting live. Come by and see us. This year's entertainment schedule is even better, including Terry Cavanaugh and the Alpine Express, who's providing your genuine German entertainment on most weeknights. Then on Friday and Saturday, check out this lineup. Beatles cover band performs Friday evening at 6:15, known as the Beatlets, followed by the area's own Overtones at 8:15, and wrapping up the night, country music star Riley Green takes the stage at 10:15. Saturday features country band Countrywide at 6:15, followed by a local group, Round 2, at 8:15, and Flyby Radio will wrap things up on Saturday night, taking the stage at 10 o'clock. Sunday will feature the Cotton Picking Kids at 1:30, followed by Warrie Crawford and his Coleman County Bluegrass Group, and Three on a String will wrap up Oktoberfest 2017, starting at 3:30 on Sunday. To get the full schedule and more information on the events taking place downtown, the Coleman Oktoberfest page there, or visit ColemanOktoberfest.com. Coleman Oktoberfest 2017, a Coleman tradition.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law, Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. So look, we have the Oktoberfest coming up next week, and the Big D Radio Show will be live remote at Coleman Oktoberfest. I'll be interviewing tons of folks on the Big D Radio Show. And, man, Melvin, I've had these kids in studio, the Cotton Picking Kids. They're just a great little group. But now I'm wondering, are they able to shop at Hobby Lobby?
Ooh. They're going to change their – they are going to have to change their name or their group. They are. I mean, is that really the name of their
yes.
group?
Yes.
They are
Oakry picking kids? Can they get away with that?
Maybe.
What? Americans have really, really short memories. We're not going to remember that in 3 months. We're just going to remember NFL players kneeling. That's it.
Yeah.
You know what? All I got to say to that lady who started all that controversy, she's an idiot, okay?
Absolutely.
Because she doesn't know anything about anything. And that's all she's trying to do is cause controversy. So she got her 15 minutes of fame. The best thing she can do is shut her mouth and go back to her house. I can't stand people that's trying to cause controversy. We have enough every single day. And just tons of people is, you know, jumping in on the bandwagon because they want to feel good and go with everybody else. And it just makes me sick and it just ticks me off. So this whole thing with this NFL deal, okay? So let me tell you something. You're out there with the American flag, okay? And that's why you're out there for. Now, if you have a problem with other, if you want to talk about race or something like that, how about this? You take your little rant somewhere else and off the football field. You know, that's why my son got killed and died in Iraq. Mm-hmm. So these idiots can do this. And I'm sticking to it. I don't care who backlashes me or whatever. You know, because of him and everyone else that put their life on the line, many that have passed away, so they can have the freedom to do what they want to do.
And get paid millions.
And then we want to sit here and hoopla with all these people that's making millions of dollars. Now, do you really care? Do you really think that they care about anybody else? Absolutely not. They're only worried about themselves. And they want to stay on the left with everybody else to stay in line with them. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. We got the guy with the Pittsburgh Steelers that come out. I thought he'd done an honorable thing. And now I'm sure he's catching a lot of flack from the Pittsburgh Steelers team. And now he goes back today and wants to retract of why he was out there.
Is that what it says?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I shouldn't have done it. I didn't want to make the team look bad, and I did, and I'm sorry. Really? Well, you're just a piece of crap like the rest of them then. Because you shouldn't be sorry to be out there with that flag. I mean, this is what America's about.
It is insane. I don't know what statement they're making in there other than they're looking like a bunch of idiots. Because literally you line up. I mean, it's just part of pregame. It's been going on forever. You line up down the lines. You hold your helmet in your hands and they play the national anthem. Then you go play football.
I've always said it. If you don't like America, get out.
Yeah. Get out of the NFL. And, you know, and I was talking to you when we was on the break about someone had shared, and I think they actually had the rule. They had, like, took a picture of the rule and they posted it. And their own NFL rule says before every game, all players will be on the field, and it tells them that they will hold their helmet in their hand, the national anthem will be played, and everything else. So they are violating their own rules. So I guess we'll get to see what Roger Goodell does on this thing. You know, because he blasted Trump. He didn't like what Trump said about the NFL players when he was in Huntsville. But
it's just crazy.
Right, so.
Do you think that Trump knew about that statement going in, that the NFL has that established? That the players signed that contract.
Oh, I doubt it.
I don't think he did. I think he's just saying, look, you know, you need to be patriotic there, sir.
That's it.
National anthem out there playing, and you bunch of idiots.
That's it.
Bunch of SOBs, what he called them. To sign up today. I love Trump.
You know, but sometimes, you know, as the leader of the United States, you have to make certain statements.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you can remember back, which you may can, in the 80s, the air traffic controllers went on strike, and Ronald Reagan said, if you don't go back to work on Monday, you're fired.
Yeah.
And they all went back to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sometimes you have to make a statement, and you have to make a stand. Granted, he's making a stand, but unfortunately, these NFL players are still going to do exactly what they want to do, and they're still going to kneel down and or not even go to the field at all.
Yeah. It is nuts. And like I said, it all goes to Roger Goodell now, the commissioner. So he's going to have to – it's all about – it's like we talk about rules and laws and everything else. They got a set of rules, set of laws. Is he going to allow them to break them or not? That's it.
Right.
You know, and if he's going to be a pansy about it, they need to get rid of him. But, you know, unfortunately, it looks like some of the owner, you know, Jerry Jones has kind of come out. to say, because Dallas has always been America's team. Right, exactly. Like that. So Jerry Jones says, you will do it or you won't play. This will be your last game. Go. So that's good.
That is good.
He did it, and hopefully you hope the other ones will stand up.
And they won't.
Thing.
They won't.
I don't think they will either. Cowards.
Because they're on the left. I mean, these people are crazy. They don't care. And even if I wanted to protest something, Melvin, do you know what? I would protest it in another way than to go out there and be an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm sitting there wanting and needing and should salute that flag as they play the national anthem.
Yeah, they can make their statements after press conferences after the games.
Exactly.
They can do whatever they want to, but when you're disrespecting right here in front of everybody, which, hey, I'm going to tell you, I usually flip through the channels just to see. Of course, everybody knows I'm a big Alabama fan, so I want to see what the Alabama players are doing. You know, so I know the teams that's got a lot of the major Alabama players on there, which is almost every team, but I like watching the Falcons and stuff. So I'll flip through and watch. And last night I thought, man, it's Monday Night Football, but I did not even turn it over there. And how many millions of Americans you think made that same decision? Decided, exactly. I'm not even going to turn it over there. So we can send a statement back to them.
Right. I have never been a fan of the NFL. Never. I've never probably watched the full game. Back in the 80s, my cousin played for Bear Bryant in the late 70s and was actually drafted to the San Diego Chargers and then off to the Washington Redskins. And that is the only time that I ever watched an NFL game.
I used to watch them with John Elway. That was the good days, man. John Elway, Roger Staubach, and all them in the 70s and 80s. I watched it all the time. I'd stay up late.
Really?
Yes. I'd have to sneak in there. Mom would make me sure. She'd tell me I had to go to bed, and I'd be like, all right. And then since she walked away, I'd cut it back on real fast.
John Elway.
And our black and white TV, y'all, by the way.
John Elway was an incredible player.
Dan Marino. Yes. Was great. Joe Montana. That was the good days.
Yes, it was.
Terry Bradshaw. But now Terry, he disappointed me. You know, he made some idiotic statement about
did.
This stuff.
He did. So he's playing along with everybody else.
Coward.
So I lost a lot of respect when I seen his little speech the other night. You know, I'm thinking you're just playing along with everybody else, Mr. Feelgood.
So what happened with Hobby Lobby? Surely they didn't take out the cotton.
I don't know if they did or not.
Surely they
did. I hope they didn't.
Surely they did.
Because that man who owns that company is from what I understand, is such a good Christian man, you know, and he has been attacked so many times throughout the years. It's unbelievable.
About what's the guy that owns Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A, exactly. Yeah. What a stand-up kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know, lets his employees off on Sundays. And
Hobby Lobby's closed on Sundays.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. People are so extreme. But this is what gets me. How did this lady get so much fame from that one little tweet that she done or one picture that she took? But there you go. There's the news media that's going to spread something so crazy over something so crazy. So it just ticks me off. And
hey, I am trying. Is the day the election, the runoff for the mayor's election in Birmingham also?
Not sure.
Or I hope so.
I think it'll be the next one.
It may be soon.
Not sure.
I hope
William Bell.
Oh man, I hope Bell gets beat.
I hope he gets his bell ring.
I hope he yes.
Let's talk a little Auburn.
Talk Auburn. Well, talking about federal charges, that coach down there in Auburn with funding the money, what he's charged with? Yeah, that was brought in by federal charges. So. You know, we didn't talk about my lovely co-host over here today.
No, we didn't.
She's
co-hosting. Shay is over here. Let me tell you something.
House.
Let me tell you something.
Quiet as a mouse, ain't she?
Shay is driving a nice ride, okay? I went out there minute ago and I went, that's nice.
We got a pretty good deal on that little car, so.
And whoever had that car before you really took good
care
of it. Oh, my goodness. It's immaculate.
But she asked me a minute ago the question of, How does federal cases differ from state cases? when the feds arrest you and they get an indictment on you like they did this guy, you know, I mean, you talked about, you said it's been kind of going on for 2 years. A lot of times the state will arrest this guy and then they'll start doing all the investigation 2 years later. And then 2 years, he's waiting on a trial or whatever else. When the feds indict you, you're ready to go to trial. They have got everything done. They've got the I's dotted and the T's crossed, and within like 90 days you are going to trial. So this guy has got some pressure on him.
He has
got arrested, charged with 6 counts of federal stuff that can get him 20 or 30 years. And when you get 20 and 30 year sentences in the feds, a 20 year sentence, you're going to serve 16, 17 years out.
Wow.
You're not going to serve 3 or 4 years and get out. You're going to spend 16 or 17 years. Not only that, their fines are going to be unreal. You're going to, if they can prove that you receive money illegally and everything else, you're going to lose all of your property. Everything you own is going to go to the federal government. I mean, they're going to run him through the mill. And literally, so we're sitting, what, end of September. By December, this guy, if his lawyer's doing him right, is telling him, look, you know, by December, you got a lot of big decisions to make, big boy.
Right.
So now you're going to trial, and you're going to spend the rest of your life, you're going to spend a ton of time in prison, or we need to work out a deal right now. And by the way, working out a deal means you're going to go to prison, means you're going to lose your jobs and your licenses and different things you may have. It means they're going to take your house, and you're going to lose your house. You're going to owe $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 worth of fines. So that poor guy's got it coming down, and there ain't no stopping him.
All right. So this man individually, of what he done at Auburn, is it going to affect Auburn any at all as a university goes?
Probably so, because they're saying that he was funneling money from these big companies, and you know, one of them that got charged with it was Adidas. So somebody, I don't know if it's the CEO of Adidas or something about Adidas, was brought out. So if Adidas is trying to get money and get a contract with some good, great basketball player, let's just assume this is coming out of any college.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it's Auburn this time, but coming out of any college, and they're doing it. The NCAA is going to be on top of this, and it's going to, and if they do an investigation, and you know, if Auburn says, "Hey, we didn't know nothing about it,"
right,
you know, they're going to say, "Well, you should have known something about it." You know, a lot of it goes. And listen, here's the other thing about his name is Chuck Person, I think, is the coach that's in hot water. Like, really, he's like scalding hot water. You know what happens when you get scalding hot water like that? He is singing like a canary.
Yes, he is.
Because part of the – they have sentencing guidelines in the federal things, and a very, very, very significant factor in determining what your sentence is cooperating with them. So they have showed him that, and his lawyer has told him, look, if you cooperate, you're going to go to prison, but
right,
instead of going to prison for 30 years, maybe we can get you in prison for 10 years.
Right.
So
10's better than 30.
10's better than 30. So that guy is singing. So, yes, you're talking about Jay Jacobs, everybody down. And it's not, y'all, it's not just Auburn. It's, who else was it? Oklahoma State?
Yeah.
There's like two or three other major colleges.
Four total.
Yeah. That they've got people that are the same charges with him.
Right.
So this is what's happened. If you probably look at the big picture, it's one company was caught funneling money. Okay, so they went and arrested this guy, whoever's doing this money, and he said, "All right, I'll just tell you what I did. I gave so much money to this guy at Auburn, so much money to this guy at Oklahoma State,
right,
so much money." He sung because he's been told the same thing.
Exactly.
It's 30 years or 10, and 10 is less than 30. So he said, well, I'll just take the 10 and I'll sing. So the Auburn guy, the Oklahoma State guy, and everybody else is doing the same thing.
Wow.
So chips are going to fall and it's going to be ugly.
I feel like you're narrating an episode of American Greed.
And look, you know, I think we can both say that we really hate that this has happened to Auburn. You know, Bama's been in trouble. There's been so many other ones. But, you know, life goes on, and don't get caught up in that crap. Next week, you can check us out again, as we may bring a guest in. Nah, we probably won't. You can check out the Big D Radio Show this Thursday. We're going to have several different guests in here. I think we're going to have some real estate folks here from Happy Homes Real Estate. And next Thursday, check out the Big D Radio Show at the Coleman Oktoberfest, as we're going to hang out and maybe have some German adult beverages.
Who do you got coming in from Happy Homes? Do you know?
I think we invited Richard Neese and Dominique. I don't know Dominique's last name. So
they're good people. Wes, I had a house for sale in the city that we had built. He sold it for us. They're good people with Happy Homes.
Awesome. Yeah. Happy Homes.
A lot of real estate.
Yeah.
I hate to chase y'all off the air, but we have to go live now. We are about to be bringing the fair pageant to Coleman County. So
see y'all.
And it's starting live right now. So bye. Thank y'all. See ya.
See you next week.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Coleman.
I'll tell you, you are in for a great evening. I prepared a 30-minute speech, but I know you really don't want to hear that. So what we're going to do is I'm going to introduce our master of ceremonies this evening. If you don't recognize his name, I guarantee you, you will recognize his voice, Mr. Tommy Warhurst.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Charlie. Welcome to the 2017 Coleman County Fair. Welcome to the Coca-Cola Theater. Tonight on the Coleman Tribune, Coleman Sent stage, we have our annual Miss Coleman County Fair Queen pageant for you. The ladies have practiced really hard. We have some of the best talent that we've had in years for our Fair Queen pageant. What we want you to do is enjoy the evening. Encourage the ladies so that they'll give an excellent performance for you tonight. In an interview session held earlier this afternoon, that accounted for 25 possible points. The ladies are competing for a total of 100 points possible. The interview session will consist of 25 points. The talent portion of tonight's contest is worth 30 points. The poise and presentation and evening wear is worth a possible 20 points. And our on-stage question and answer session with the ladies is worth a possible 5 points. I can't go any further without thanking Philip Hicks and Mr. Hicks Menswear for decking me and Mr. Charles.